Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome once again to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Today we will be taking a look at a familiar scripture cherished by Christians throughout history for the comfort it brings and the vivid picture it paints of our loving Savior, the Good Shepherd. And though Psalm 23 is often read at funerals, there is certainly no need to restrict it to that type of venue, as there's much hope and promise to be found in this passage. And the reason I chose this passage is simply because it has been pleasantly stuck in my mind for a couple weeks now. A few weeks back, I went for, or decided to go for, a little bit of exercise, a light jog. But I had no particular destination in mind, and it quickly became a brisk walk, of course, but that's certainly not the point. I was in a great mood, the sun was shining, birds were chirping, and spring had just begun to sing its song. But as I was out and about making random turns down random streets I had never been before or walked before, I came across this, I'll say, less than desirable part of town. I don't know, it was a bit run down, trash, scattered about, and old cars that didn't look like they'd been moved in years. But as I was kind of, didn't really think much of it, I saw a few guys hanging about, and like I said, I wouldn't normally take much stock of these things, but something seemed off, and my mind started to whirl with unpleasant thoughts. I had no immediate reason to think I was in any danger, but the mind is a funny thing. I started thinking of my wife and kids, the fact that no one even knows where I am or that I have no identification on me, not to mention how terribly out of shape I am if I need to run. But I had no reason to think these things. And it all just happened quickly as Psalm 23, verse 4 jumped in my mind. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And immediately I began to relax and remembered that all things are in God's hands. My time on this earth is not going to end until he says so, until he calls me home. And even if something should happen before then, well, that's also in his hands, as all things work together for good to those who love God. In reality, I wasn't in any danger. I just happened to be in an unfamiliar place with unfamiliar people. But it made me start thinking of King David, who wrote this psalm and who quite literally had to escape for his life on multiple occasions. He had to fight for his life on other occasions. And generally speaking, he just lived a wildly dangerous life from our modern perspective. Even from his youth, David was accustomed to danger. As a shepherd of his father's flock, he was in the business of protecting helpless animals. If you recall the story of David and Goliath found in 1 Samuel 17, while all the men of Israel slunk with fear at the taunts from Goliath, David stood up boldly and volunteered to fight the Philistine. And when word got around to Saul, he called for David and said in verse 33, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Now that's quite an amazing story, to say the least. The fight with Goliath notwithstanding, to chase down a lion or a bear at any age is unbelievably heroic. Though nowadays we might just call that crazy. Because even with a gun, it would still be incredibly dangerous to approach such an animal trying to eat its lunch. But David had no such weapon. He might have had his sling, his shepherd's hook, or his rod, as mentioned in the psalm. But he went after those helpless animals nonetheless, because he had something in this world something that so many in this world lack. In verse 37, we read, and this is David still talking to Saul, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" You see, David's bravery was not founded in himself, but God. He trusted in the Lord with his life and trusted that the Lord would protect him just as he protected his sheep. And then, of course, there is the actual battle with Goliath. While all the men of Israel were too afraid to fight, David was angered and offended by the insults of the Philistine against the one who had always protected him. And then he went out to defend the honor of God and slay the giant. And we all know the story of David. The heroics don't end there, but neither did the danger he faced. Saul would grow jealous, attempt to kill him multiple times, as would those he once trusted. Even his own child would turn against him. But David never lost faith in God, who was able to do all things. In Psalm 55, David writes about the treachery of friends. In verse 4, we read, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me." And then in verse 12, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." Verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old." And then finally, verse 22, he calls on us, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." It's just simple, steadfast faith in God Almighty, despite the heartbreak and gloomy predicaments he would find himself in. But coming back to Psalm 23, we don't exactly know when David wrote this psalm, whether it was in his youth as he recalled fighting off a lion and a bear, or when he was on the run from King Saul, or perhaps even as he was approaching his final years in life. But one thing we are most certain of is that David did not lack faith in God. On the contrary, he trusted in God with his entire heart, as we just read. Which brings me to an important question for all of us. Do you trust in God with all of your heart? With everything going on in this world, constant wars, inflations, exaggerated hostilities between political parties, and a growing shift away from Christianity and religion, how does your faith stack up? And on a more personal level, when you face adversity in the workplace, or struggle to pay your bills, or, God forbid, experience the betrayal of a loved one, well, who do you turn to? Do you look to HR and the internet, or a therapist to help solve your problems? Or do you turn to your Lord and Savior, who is able and willing to guide us through all of our struggles and the problems of life? And I'm not saying you can't utilize these worldly avenues of help, but what is your instinctual reaction? Psalm 21, verse 1 and 2, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Whether we utilize worldly means of help or not, it is God who resolves all of the issues in our life. And I hope none of us forget that. As we look back at Psalm 23, verse 1 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The sheep does not worry about things he does not have. He gives that worry to a shepherd whom he trusts. In the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." It's not that these things, clothes, food, and are just going to fall from the sky like manna in the desert. though that is certainly possible with God. But your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need, and He will provide. If you are one of His sheep, He is going to lead you and guide you into all that you need. And the question is, do you trust Him? You might think that you need a refrigerator or a stockpile full of food, a wardrobe for every occasion, or a savings account that grants an easy retirement. But there is something far more important than any of these things. If you recall the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" And so far more important than having a full belly or a large savings account is the salvation of your soul. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Are you rich towards God? Is your focus directed towards His righteousness and the treasures of heaven? Or is your mind focused on worldly things? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, a sheep trusts his shepherd with his life and well-being. I'm not saying there won't be problems in this life, because there most certainly will. But we don't have to stress over them, because God and Jesus, our good shepherd, is watching over us, willing to seek out a single lost lamb, willing to lay down his life for each individual lamb, just as David would go after a single lamb taken by the lion. Now, Jesus came into this world with the purpose of saving each one of his sheep from our adversary, the devil, who we know walks about like a lion, seeking to devour whomever he can. And though we all were once caught in the lion's mouth, our Lord has freed us from his clutches. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Jesus called himself the good shepherd, demonstrated that to be true through his love and sacrifice on our behalf. And if he was willing to do that for a sinful world and those who rebelled against him, well, how much more is he willing to do for those who love him? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we now have received the reconciliation. With Jesus on our side, there is just simply nothing in this world that is worthy of our anxiety and fear. He saved us from the world, from ourselves even. In Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And this he does free of cost, just as a father does for his children. He leads us to the truth, knowing we will be set free. He takes our heavy burdens and gives us rest, not because we have something to offer him, but because he loves us. And he wants us to know that he loves us. And he will take your anxieties from you if you let him, allowing you to lie down in green pastures in peace." Shortly before he was arrested and crucified, still in the upper room, Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So even when the world looks frightening and everything is going wrong and we cannot say with honesty that tomorrow will be any better, then still we may glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Good Shepherd is with us. He is guiding us, watching over us, praying for us, and protecting us from the evil of this world. And should we be taken from this world, still there is nothing to fear, for to live is Christ and to die is gain, as we depart from this world and go to be with our Lord and Savior, comforted in his arms, which is far better. But we have been born in this place and time for a reason, to shine the light of Christ within us and spread his gospel and glorify him. And so we do not hope for death, but neither do we fear it. For in due time, we all shall breathe our last, as we know the inevitable consequence of sin. But praise God and his Son, Jesus Christ, who defeated death and promised, because I live, you will live also. And now all of this is praiseworthy, and we thank God for his love and mercy and his protection. But we all know saying and doing are two very different things. Knowing and accepting are two very different things. And so how do we embrace the truth of this reality so that when fear or anxiety, despair happen to manifest, we can quiet those ugly thoughts and return to the still waters of peace? Well, first and foremost, we say it often here, but a working knowledge of the Word of God is priceless. Not this Friday, but two Fridays ago at Bible study, Scott mentioned the Bible contains somewhere around 750,000 individual words. And I looked it up and confirmed there is, roughly speaking, that many words. Sounds like a lot. And, you know, when you look at a Bible, it looks that way as well, but compared to any casual literature, it's a large book. The Bible is not any casual literature. It is the Word of God. And if you have yet to read the Bible, what are you waiting for? You know, how can we be rich towards God if we neglect his Word? And I'm not saying we have to memorize every single individual word, but the more you are exposed to, the more you're going to understand his true character, how much he loves you, how much he's done for you, and how much he's going to continue to do for you. And God tells us all of this in his Word. And that alone is going to begin to set your heart at ease when you face the struggles of this life. And then, of course, as you read through scriptures, you come across his promises and see how they've been fulfilled, not only through biblical history, but post-completion of the scriptures as well. And that's going to build your trust even more. Another thing in regards to reading the Word is memorizing those indispensable promises. You know, burn them into your memory like an old school CD, so we're not going to forget them. And you will be ready and able to resist the devil, just as Jesus did in the wilderness. And speaking of promises, one of the other promises that is, which reminds me of, is 1 John 1:9, when Jesus, we're told, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which, again, is one of the many promises in the Bible that will comfort us, but it has to do with keeping our accounts short, asking forgiveness when we need it. That's going to set our minds at ease and reduce our anxiety. But finally, one more thing that all holy saints rely on is prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Prayer is a secret weapon to be used in times of triumph and joy, as well as in times of sadness and distress. It's not just for when we are running late and lose our car keys, or when we need some patience, or when someone we love is sick in the hospital. Though each of these are appropriate times to pray, but prayer is to be done at all times. Pray without ceasing, we are told, because prayer is communication with your shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for your provisions. Thank you, Lord, for helping me not strangle my children. Please, Lord, help me not strangle my children. A lamb is a helpless creature, and we are certainly helpless in this world without the love and protection of our shepherd. But God's people know this and embrace it and look to him for everything, big or small. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And because all things are possible with God, we know our prayers are not wasted words. Even if our prayers are not answered the way we hope they might, we can take comfort in knowing that God has chosen what is best for us, just as a parent does for their children, and just as a shepherd does for his sheep. Though to briefly come back to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, which is the same thing Jesus said in a different way. Do not worry. Let not your heart be troubled. Again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I feel like this last part needs to be repeated. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. It's a peace that surpasses understanding. It's a supernatural peace that does not make sense. And it is a gift from God. You know, have you ever wondered how Stephen was able to pray for those who were stoning him to death? Or how Job was able to fall down and worship and praise God even though all that he had was destroyed and taken away, his children included? When Job heard about his children, he tore off his clothes, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, can we do this when problems and difficulties come our way, when everything that we have is taken away? Well, this is how they were able to do those things, because they had the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. It's complete and utter faith in God. It is a sheep who trusts his shepherd for everything without hesitation, who is able to say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Does that describe you? Do you trust the shepherd with your life? With the life of your children, with all your worldly belongings? You know, I really hope you do, because there is certainly nothing in this world, no one you can turn to, that is going to grant you peace of mind and heart the way that Jesus can. And if you are sitting here today and do not know the love of Christ, well, hear the words of Jesus who said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So if you hear his voice, turn to him. For he also said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There is one good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it is only through him that all saints may say in agreement, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your promises of comfort and hope, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who made it all possible through his sacrifice on our behalf. Even when we were sinners, Lord, and didn't look to you, you came after us, and you faithfully gave out your love to a sinful world. And so, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We praise you, Lord. We ask that you help us increase our faith. Where we lack, Lord, we ask that you increase it. We want to trust in you the way that David did, the way that Job did, the way that Stephen did. Lord, we ask you for this, that we may rely on you and praise your name even more. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we pray these things in the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.